The Six Pointer Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Six Pointer Podcast. Long way to return, or just we only come back for derbies? That is the question.
It is, Matthew, and it is a London derby, a South London derby today as we celebrate over a pint of Guinness Crystal Palace's 3-1 home win against that lot, Millwall, in the FA Cup, which puts us through to the quarterfinals. And it's nice to see Palace having a run in the FA Cup. And always nice to beat Millwall, of course. I especially enjoyed that one.
Yeah, it was a good day out, really, end to end. Game was a bit drab at points, but I think we overall deserve the pass into next round. We earned the pass anyway. We weren't getting through to the next round. I think going into the game, obviously, we were on a really good run of form. Were you confident going in today, Luke?
I was. I was obviously interested to see the team. I think recently we've gone quite strong in the cup. So, with the exception of, was it Matt Turner came in for Dee Henderson, and Ben Chilwell came in for Tyrick Mitchell. Apart from that, it was pretty much the same team, was it? Obviously, Wharton didn't start,
back
did he?
Bench, yeah. But that was the right call, I think, after, what did he pay the other night? 80 minutes? Yeah.
So, yeah, look, I mean, a strong team, and I said to you pre-match, bruv, that I really thought this was an opportunity for us to show the gulf in quality and class between the two teams now that, albeit, you know, I appreciate we played them, what, 2-3 years ago in the FA Cup at their place in the third round, but I think our progression since then and Millwall's stagnation in the championship has really widened that gulf, and today I felt was an opportunity for us to show that gulf in quality and how much further on we are from them. Obviously, quite nicely shown by the fact that we've cherry picked their best player and he caught him get our team.
I think from a Millwall perspective, it's kind of a bit of a free hit, isn't it? A game like this, because you know ideally they'd be at home for them, and having an away tie for them is obviously a disadvantage, but at the same time it's a free hit because they're not expected to beat Palace, so they're just going to come and try and put us under some pressure and
they get a nice day out of it
and make the game a bit untidy and messy, and I'm not sure it's sitting there off a wait though can be called a nice day out, but you told me the away fans have got a nice little concourse bit that's built on outside the off a wait, so maybe that made it a bit better. But yeah, it was kind of, I expected a bit more of a bitty game, a bit more, well, what they did at points in the first half, a lot more sort of game management and on the floor lots and, you know, wasting, leaking out time. But I think the sending off happening when it did, with John Philip Mateta getting absolutely, well, taken out in a disgusting fly kick or whatever, I don't know if you're going to call it. It changed whatever the game was then going to pan out to be into a very different one, didn't it?
I felt that, I think I turned to you, Rob, and said that BBC are going to be really annoyed that red card has happened so early, because I think essentially, especially in the first half, it killed the game as a competition, really.
Yeah, it did, yeah.
We can't let it go without talking about how a ridiculous challenge that was. I felt, having sort of, it was right in front of us, and obviously the goalie sort of run away from us to meet JP. I didn't feel the goalkeeper made much attempt to win the ball, and his focus was more on JP. And you know, the replays that we've seen since then, the slow down replays, obviously everything looks worse in slow motion, but that was brutal, and it looks like he's got a cut behind his ears, what Parrish was saying apparently. So hopefully he's okay, it's just a superficial gash, and he'll be okay. But that really changed the dynamic of the game, because Millwall then, I think I said to you, went to a 4-3-1, and really, you know, even before that red card in the first 6 minutes, they were providing a sort of a very low block with sort of banks of players across the field and trying to obviously make it very hard for us to break down. But obviously also for us, you know, I think we miss JP as well, a man who's in scintillating form. And had he played the game, well, there goes my £5 bet on JP to score. So thanks very much. Millwall goalkeeper, whoever you are. We do wonder what sort of ban you'll get for that. But this see what happens. But look, I mean, ultimately, Eddie Nketiah got his chance, having scored on Tuesday night in the dying minutes against Aston Villa. So, and thought it was even a better start for Palace as well, because only a few minutes later he hit the back of the net, which was ruled out for offside.
Yeah, I think you're right. It very much changed the game, the sending off, and we didn't quite get to see the local derby nature of the game, really, because, like you said, Millwall had to change their formation. Although I'm not too sure it would have changed the way they would have played out the game necessarily. I think their gameplay would have been to catch them the break. But you know, we've been so good recently, and you know, the Aston Villa wasn't just a positive result; it was really a positive performance as well, wasn't it? And I think that Palace were really looking to build on that and to push on, and I would have expected us to be very much on the front foot. Obviously, it took a different path the game then on, and we were on the front foot, and it was, I don't know, it was quite frustrating at points, wasn't it? Because it was, we were so close, and I felt by half time, obviously before they scored, we could have been more than 2-0 up. But look, you know, we got the goal, and we did after quite a few moments and efforts on target. Was it Jensen who came off for Millwall to make a couple of saves? And then, yeah, sort of Hughes's ball, well, it was a shot, wasn't it? But kind of, well, yeah. So it got deflection, didn't it? Did he tried to head it out, didn't he, Tanganga, and it went sort of at the back of the net?
Yeah, not quite sure what he was trying to do. Maybe he was trying to just head it up and over or whatever it is, but he got it all wrong. And I think that at that point when we did score, it was nothing left than we deserved, in the sense that Palace were absolutely dominant in that first half.
Yeah,
I think we looked at half time, it was something like 70.
It was 82, I think.
82% possession. Yeah, it was ridiculous. You know, we were on the front foot going at them. I guess the frustration would be that we didn't create more than we did, or didn't create as many sort of quality chances as we could have done. And that breakthrough comes through in a form of an own goal, which was, you know, as I said, nothing less than Palace deserved at that point. And I was just thinking then that this is an opportunity now. You know, 10 men, we finally made the breakthrough. I said to you before the game, bruv, I've fancied us to hit them sort of 4 or 5, if I'm honest. If it'd been a level playing field, and perhaps they'd come at us and we'd be able to catch them on the break with our wing backs, we had done, obviously, with Munoz and Chilwa, who were so far up the pitch, you know, it was. Ismail Assar was playing as right back at times because Munoz was so far up the pitch. But
that was a danger, though, wasn't it? Yeah. They were so far up the pitch that we were then exposed if Millwall did get on the ball and have a break. And I think Palace managed that quite well. You know, possession, like we said, was high, but it was also managed very well for Palace. And I think, you know, obviously second goal then came, and I mean, they got a goal very much against the run of play, but for them, it was a perfect time to get a goal, right? Going into half-time gives them something to build on. Half-time team talks, obviously, they're very different for them. And I think Palace's failure to come out in the second half and take the game again to Millwall and push on from that was then what made the second half, I felt, a very drab affair.
Just tracking back there, bruv, to obviously Muniz's goal, the second goal, obviously, we thought it was... it was ruled off for offside incorrectly because it did actually bounce off the Millwall man, and then
Tanganga again.
I think it was, yeah. Assist. So a goal and assist. Thanks very much. And you were bigging him up before game, saying how good he was.
I think he's solid, but yeah, I told you it was good for us today. So there you go.
Yeah, thanks very much, mate. Yeah, the money's in the post, but yeah, like you say, but their goal completely come against the run of play out of the blue. I don't think they deserved it really, and it gave them that little bit of a boost. Good save from Matt Turner, and sort of comes back out, and the ball which is driven back in, I think it hits, was it Chilwell, or I can't remember who it hit, or maybe Munoz, anyway, hit someone and deflected in the way, and it means that Matt Turner on the second chance has got no chance whatsoever of saving that one. And yeah, the frustration was then that we let them, it's almost like we sat back and soaked up a lot of pressure in the first, I think, 25 minutes of that second half.
Well, even from the kickoff,
really drab.
Even from the kickoff, right? I think they lumped a long ball forward, and we were just like we were all over the shop with it, and that kind of, I think, set the tone. We felt a bit nervous coming into that second half, and I don't know. Well, they obviously had their half-time oranges, and we didn't, but yeah. That was the thing. It was a shame, and the game kind of petered out into a bit of. Probably half an hour or so of mediocrity. I think Walter made a difference coming on. Yeah. I think he gave us a bit more energy. I think that's what I said, didn't I, to you before he came on. We need some energy. We need something to change things up. It wasn't really a game for Saar because we had so much possession and we were so on the front foot in their half, he's better when we're kind of running on the attack or so it wasn't really a good game for him, and I kind of it's a shame because again he's been in a good run of form recently, obviously the goals in midweek. But yeah, it took the third goal really, didn't it, to finish it off. A lovely header from Nketiah. I mean, I must admit, I don't think he did much else. I can't think of too many sort of moments that he created. Can you think of another shot or effort? I might be missing something here.
Well, obviously, apart from the one that was ruled out from offside, not really. Yeah. But then again, brother, I think that was probably a failure of the team rather than Nketiah himself, in the sense that we didn't really get in those positions in that second half. It was sort of a bit of a scrappy game in that first sort of, say, 25, half an hour of that second half was a drab affair. It must have been terrible to watch at home. I'm sure people on BBC One might have switched off at that point.
No, not off, mate.
Maybe had a couple of beers in the first half and fell asleep on the sofa. That's kind of, I must admit, where I wished I was at one point, until obviously Nketiah's goal went in. But and the atmosphere, I think, suffered a little bit in that second half because of that, because the first half I think was really good. It was nice to see the Palace atmosphere come back. Plenty of songs about Millwall and reminding them where they are and who they are, so which was nice. And like you said, bruv, at half time it was men versus very little boys, and the second half we allowed them to come back in. That was frustration. But once that goal did go in, that third goal for Palace, there wasn't much else from Millwall, and it was sort of just I don't think Palace got out of second or third gear in that second half. It was just sort of getting the job done, making sure we stay compact. Passed it around nicely at times, which was nice to see. Essa came on, took a couple of sort of strong challenges from his former teammates, which drew a few sort of cheers from the away fans. But I think perhaps he had perhaps hoped that he would come on and have a bit more of an impact than he did in that second half. But nice to see Nathaniel Clyne, who of course will no doubt be reminding Millwall fans that South London is indeed ours.
Yeah, his tweet will come out again. So look, not the game that we really hoped for in terms of the competitive nature of it and, you know, the London derby nature of it and so on and so forth, but we got the job done, as you said, and 3-1 and into the next round. And I think you said earlier when we were on our way here in the coach and horses in Beckenham, you said on the bus to me that the draw looks very good in the sense of who's left in the cup. And the semi-finals aren't at Wembley anymore, are they? So we've got I thought they were. Well, either way, we've either got a game to Wembley or two games to Wembley.
Well, look, I mean, Aston Villa obviously got through against Cardiff last night. You've still got Man City, who have got to play Plymouth. Who else are the big teams in there? Don't know. Anyway, but you've still got some teams in there. But what is nice to see is that you've got lower league teams getting further in the cup. And look, we always hark about the romance of the FA Cup, and I think this season we've really seen it in, you know, obviously the Plymouth result, Orient, you know, getting their goal against Man City, and what could have been there if they could hold out. But those moments are sort of memories that people keep for a lifetime, and that's what the FA Cup's about. And it's nice to see you know, lower league clubs really pushing this year and getting far in the competition. I think either way, I think we will have at least one or two Championship clubs in the quarterfinals, which would be nice given the way the draw is.
It's just Preston still, isn't it?
Just Preston.
And then obviously Plymouth against Man City away.
Come on, Plymouth. That would be brilliant.
Everyone's cheering for Plymouth later on, right? Unless you're a Man City fan, obviously. But yeah, Preston with a 3-0 win against Burnley in that derby game. So, you know, we want Preston at home.
Well, I mean,
right. We want Preston.
Yes, I mean, yeah. I guess, I mean, you want to avoid the big boys, don't you? So you want to avoid Aston Villa. You want to avoid Man City.
Bournemouth as well. I mean, if they were there when they were against Wolves,
let's see how that one goes. But
Newcastle, Brighton, Man United, Fulham, and then Forest and Ipswich. So there are a lot of Premier League teams left in it. But you know, there are teams in there that we've already beaten this season and could no doubt beat as well.
Also, bruv, Bournemouth, Wolves, Ipswich, Forest. You know, these are teams who like sort of aren't. Well, apart from Forest this season, aren't at the top of the Premier League. So it's great to see him progressing in the cups.
Yeah.
And that's what I mean in terms of sort of the romance of the cup, the fact that it often can be a bit of an escape from the turgid nature of a league season when you're not performing very well. You've got to look back at Palace's sort of runs in cup competitions, the way it tends to be when we're not doing so well in the league. You've got that release in the cup, and that keeps the belief alive and that love for the season. I think, you know, famously, I think back to that Carling Cup one where you and I went to Cardiff with Tom.
That's a memory day.
That would have been, 2012, 2011? But that season was shit. But the cup run was brilliant, though, wasn't it?
Was that the yellow kit?
Yes,
didn't
Sean Scanlon and Johnny Parr miss the penalties?
But who got sent off? McCarthy.
Paddy McCarthy, didn't he? Right, yeah, and we had to play extra time with 10 men.
That's right, wow.
But we made it through. Take that, Millwall. But, we made it through to the penalties at least. But, like you say, bruv, we're through to into the hat for the next round, which I think the draw is going to be on Monday night before the game.
Is that the one-two again?
I don't know. That must have been the highest view in the one show I ever had. The fact that that was drawn was a few weeks back then. But you and I both punched the air when Palace got Millwall. And look, nice to have a London derby. Nice to put Millwall back in their place. Remind them that they are below us and will remain below us for many, many, many years to go, and probably forever, let's be honest. 3-1, fantastic result. South London Zars.
I think that wraps it up, doesn't it?
It does.
I think that's it. As always, at Six Pointer on Instagram and the platform formerly known as Twitter. Do you still check the formerly known as Twitter thing? Do you actually still check that? Do you go
every
on
now
it?
And then. Yeah, every now and then.
If you message us on that platform, you might not have got a response because he doesn't check it.
Even then, bruv, even on Instagram, which I must admit, I'm not great on the old DMs. So apologies to anyone who has written in. I have seen, even today, I did log in today, I did see people asking sort of when's the next pod and things like that.
Because it's been about 7 months, the last one.
It's been what, 2 months? 2 months? Two, 3 months has it been? But look. We're here for quality, not quantity. and hopefully that's what you're getting out of this free service. So enjoy it. Enjoy the Wynn Palace fans. Hopefully we'll have a few beers tonight. I'm going to have a few beers and a curry and celebrate.
Nice.
And certainly look forward to staying up and watching Match of the Day tonight and reliving that one. And I might even go on social media and wind up a few Millwall fans. Who knows? Let's bask in the glory of being South London's number one. And as always, up the palace.
The Six Pointer Podcast.